Game on. Boxing.
Welcome back to Game On. So last night we had the privilege of having David Gillick on for his reflections on the Olympics through his eyes in the world of athletics. And this evening I'm delighted to say that Eric Donovan is joining us to look at boxing. Eric, how are you?
All good, Ruby. All good. Thanks for having me.
Eric, before we go all green and start looking at the boxing at the Olympics from an Irish point of view, let's just look at boxing and the Olympics. How would you describe Paris on a boxing front?
Well, I think I have mixed feelings, you know, because like boxing has been under the microscope there over the last while, a lot of scrutiny and a lot of bad press, a lot of controversy. And this has been going on right back to the Rio Olympics, the whole Michael Conlon situation, and the Richard McLaren report, the independent report that was done on the governing body and the evidence that was found, the corruption and the collusion and all of that. So I thought that they had a chance now to really put forward the best foot and promote what's good about boxing, you know. But I just thought that there was a couple of dubious, let's say unsavoury, and I wasn't happy about that. I still believe in boxing. I still believe in boxing for the greater good on a social level, on a world level, on a global level, and what the, you know, how beneficial it can be, how rewarding and powerful it can be in communities and countries. It's a global sport. So, but there definitely needs to be some tidying up, and I don't know where. I'm not overly confident. Like I can't say with conviction that yeah, we're going to be in the next Olympics. I hope we are. I really hope we are, because it needs to be center stage at Olympic Games. You know, it's one of the longest sports running, Olympic sports, and it's a chance for amateur boxers to be on the biggest platform, the biggest stage. And it's a chance for them to kind of, I suppose, become household names and to showcase their sport, their abilities to the world. So I'd love to see it. And it would be an absolute shame, a real travesty, if it's gone the games.
Look, they've been there since 1904. Every Olympics bar Stockholm in 1912, because Swedish law didn't allow boxing within the country since 2012. Women's boxing has been part of it, but the IOC has made it clear that it needs national boxing federations to reach a consensus around a new international federation in order for boxing to be included on the sports programme for the Olympic Games LA 28. Obviously, no one seems to know where to start, but who can start this? Is there a country, group of countries who can pull this together?
Well, there already is a world boxing organization that's after separating from what's there at the moment, which is the IBA. And ever since the IBA have lost their, with the IOC have banned and don't see them or don't acknowledge them at all, ethical governance and, you know, financial regularities and behaviours, that they're not playing ball with the IOC. So again, this is a big issue between America and Russia, and I think the much deeper levels of conflict that's going on doesn't help either, you know, with the war in Ukraine and just that ongoing conflict there. I think that's also having a contributing to what's going on here between president of the IBA, which is the International Boxing Association, and then Thomas Bach, the IOC president. Then the IOCs have said that they've given them ample opportunity to come forward, to comply and be transparent, and they basically said that they haven't delivered and they haven't proved themselves at all. So there has been a kind of a separation, and there's to this mostly Western type countries. But will it be enough? Like, because like this new organization that has broke away, like a lot of them anyway, you know, so like, how is that going to change the sports? Like, I read a brilliant article recently that said it's like
And Eric, you were just about to give us a quote there.
Yeah, the people in the IOC, you know, they're not playing, like, they basically will not recognize the IBA, which is the International Boxing Association, and Umar Kremlev, who's the president, and they're at loggerheads. Umar Kremlev and Thomas Bach, and the IBA held a press conference in Paris while the, you know, the Paris Olympics was going on, and it was really just taking digs at each other. And a lot of people are still left with so much confusion, you know, because they're also, like, you have to remember, there is 50 countries or something that have joined this new world boxing organization. But the issues within boxing is not an individual's problem. It's world boxing's problem. Like, it is, like, the IOC have took control of the last two Olympic Games. So they have put in place the judges, the referees, to clean up boxing. So the IOC were responsible for the Paris Olympic Games and the Tokyo Olympic Games. And so then that has to be on their watch, all the poor decisions that I've saw, that I've seen with my own two eyes, which I think were an absolute disgrace. The IOC were involved in putting that team together. Like, there was one particular fight, which is Dana Morehouse's fight, the young girl from represented Ireland, from Bray, brilliant, brilliant young boxer, great kid. She lost her fight, and I thought it was an absolute disgrace. There was two judges that were in that, involved in her fight. Two of the five judges were removed in 2021 from a world championships because they were deemed high risk of reoffending or being, you know, involved in corruption or unethical behavior in fights. So they were both deemed high risk, so they were removed. So, I mean, that was in the Richard McLaren independent report that was done post the Rio 2016 Olympic Games. So that information was available to the IOC. Why didn't they use that? Like, it was free information. Like, but they obviously brought in those two referees, judges, and allowed them to participate in the Paris Olympic Games. And they were directly involved in one of the worst decisions I've seen in a long time, which is Dana Morehouse's decision. But look, I mean, boxing, obviously, it's not down to one person. It's not down to, I'm not specifically saying it's the IOC or whatever, but it's a world problem, and it needs obviously a revamp, but it also needs some structural change, something that's going to try and bring it to, I know it's a subjective sport, so it's never going to be absolutely pinpoint accuracy, but it'll have to, they're going to have to do something to bring it more into line with fairness. And, you know, I think at the moment it's not right there.
No, it looks to be a fair shambles. Obviously, the other controversy within boxing was a very, I don't know, politically sensitive one, I suppose, is the best way of describing it, between Imane Khelif and Lin Yongting of Taiwan and Algeria, and mm-hmm. about whether they should or should not have been fighting. It's a difficult one, Eric. I honestly don't know the answer, and I don't have a massively strong opinion because I'm not sure about all the facts. But what's your own consensus on it?
Well, I'd be like you, because I commentated on both their fights, you know, and I did commentary on both, but I wouldn't dare comment with any kind of confidence because I don't have the expertise in it. And, like, I will, obviously, I have the expertise in terms of boxing and boxing ability and tactics and strategies and all of that, and that's how I commentated. But in terms of the bigger issue that's going on, the you know, the XY, the chromosomes, the science, you know, the gender, the male, the female, I'm not fully versed on all of that stuff, so I can't really speak with any expertise on it or insight. I have read a couple of little articles on it, and I think, you know, I would be inclined to follow the science, and, you know, they have been passed. So, like, who am I to say, like, if they've been passed by the IOC board and the IOC are, you know, they're supposed to uphold fairness in sport, and that's paramount, then if they have followed all the procedures and all the science and they've approved both these boxers to fight, then who am I to say otherwise? You know what I mean? But I wouldn't be able to give any further opinion because I just wouldn't have the knowledge.
I think I'm pretty much in the same boat as you. Now, if we roll this back and start looking at it through deep green tinted glasses, I guess any time you go to the Olympic Games and you win a gold medal, it's deemed a success.
Unbelievable. Like, it really was. And to be just out there, it was like sport in heaven, like, for me, because, like, this boxing schedule allowed me to be able to get around to a couple of events. I saw Whiffen break the Olympic record. I saw Reese McLenahan win his, you know, put in that gold medal performance. And I obviously commentated on Kerry Harrington's Olympic fights along with Hugh Cattle. So, like, it was just, we won 4 gold medals and I was present for 3 of them and commentated on 1 of them. Like, it was just incredible. Like, stories and memories that you'll never, ever forget, you know. And then, like, it is our most successful Olympic Games. And what really was nice for me is knowing that how distributed it was. It wasn't just one sport getting all the glory or all the fame. Like, so it shows that investment works. It shows high performance works. And we need to really capitalize on this now and, you know, put in, like, the more you invest in something, the more return you're going to get. So at grassroots level is where it needs to be at. And we need to put more effort and support behind our volunteers, because they're the unsung heroes across our country who are given so much time and effort to help young kids develop in whatever sport that they're doing. And it's a thankless job at times. You know, we often say, we know the old stories, a boxer or an athlete can miss a session, but a coach can't, you know. So we need to back them. We need to support them more. And the Olympics, I think, and sport in general is something that can unite the world and bring people together. And it's universal, and it's just a great, very positive thing, and a great combating tool to deal with a lot of this anxiety and mental health issues and all that young kids are struggling with nowadays. So I think sport in general can be a great tool to counteract that.
It most certainly can. This was the biggest boxing team we sent to an Olympics since Rome in 1960. We had 10 boxers. Kelly Harrington fronted it. I know your feelings on the Diana Morehouse bout. Some would say Aoife O'Rourke was in the same boat in her 75kg bout when she lost 3-2 in the round of 16. But outside of Kelly, the results, were they what we expected? Were they underwhelming? How do you think the boxing team as a whole performed?
No, I think it's fair to say that it was disappointing in a boxing sense. We did expect more. Obviously, what Kelly has done is just remarkable. It really is extraordinary. But we hope that, you know, there was definitely two medals. We thought two bankers anyway, and maybe a third or fourth would be a real bonus. I think when people say, "Oh, the largest team ever and 10 boxers," that doesn't mean we were going to get several medals or five or six medals, you know. And sometimes people think it's a given, and we can probably take Kelly for granted too as well and forget that Katie Taylor almost fell into that bracket too, where we took them for granted and we expected them to win all the time. But like, they still were up against serious operators. Kelly boxed world champions in the semi-final and the final. But I do think Aoife O'Rourke, you know, I tipped her for a medal, and I just think there's been a lot of crying about her, the officiating of her bout. But I think Aoife will look at it when she reflects on a mature level and a reasonable level. She'll be able to see that she didn't really perform. She's better than that. She's a three-time European champion. And I think it was just an off day for her, a really, really bad day. Officiating wasn't ideal, but I can't really put it down to like a blatant robbery like some people are. Her opponent dragged her into a scrappy affair, her opponent that she had beat six times previously, but Aoife engaged with her. And then when you engage, it makes it harder for the referee to kind of pick out one, because there's two people getting involved. Now, he did give the public warning to the pole in the first round. He didn't give any more. He kind of, some people say he bottled it, but referees tend to not want to be the sole responsibility of the outcome of a match. They'd like the judges to deal with that. And because it was two-sided and not just one, even though the pole might have instigated, but Aoife engaged, Aoife should have been able to deal with that curveball. I think it'll be a massive learning experience for her, but she can go again. That's the beauty of the women's boxing as well. They seem to be able to be, there's a lot more older females. In Kelly's weight, there was 8 or 9 boxers in their mid-30s, 33, 34 years of age, or just below early 30s, you know. So I think Aoife can go again. She's still young enough to go again. And there's a young team, Dana Morehouse. I thought she was really badly judged. Dean Clancy is only 22. Jude Gallagher boxed very, very well. And on a different day, Jude Gallagher in a different place could have won that fight. It was so close, and it is subjective, that we can't say, oh, robbery. But I can see grounds for where I thought Jude on a different day could have won that fight. And that's a flip of a coin. And if he did win that fight, I think he wins a medal, because the Australian he would have had next for the medal, Jude gave him a going over in training camp prior to the Olympics. So that shows you how close it was. Other performances, Aidan Walsh done really performed as best he could. he didn't have any kind of... Aidan Walsh is what he is, Olympic bronze medalist, but he has one style. It's a very effective style on the back foot, counter-punching, but it just didn't get the rub of the green on the day. Jack Marley gave a good account of himself, boxed well, but just came up against a tough one in the quarterfinal. Michaela Walsh done well, but again, just came up against a better opponent. Jennifer Lahan boxed against a Chinese girl in her first fight. Jennifer Lahan is a teacher. She took a career break. She picked up gloves at 20 years of age. She's 24 and she's boxing in the Olympic Games. Remarkable story.
But she has no trouble controlling the classroom anyway.
No, definitely not. But and she gave some girls their lessons. She gave some lessons to some girls on her way to qualification as well and her route to Paris. But she got beat in her first fight against a Chinese girl who went on to win the Olympic gold medal. So, like, you know, it was tough on some of them, and we can analyse it, I suppose, till the cows come home. But it is fair to say, disappointing return for the Irish boxing team with just one medal, having qualified our largest team. But it does also show that there's a very young Jack Marley, Dean Clancy, Dana Morehouse, Jude Gallagher, all literally 21, 22. And if you look at boxers in the past, it's the second Olympics where they strike. Carruth and McCullough went to Seoul in 88, got nothing, came to Barcelona, got gold and silver 4 years later. John Genevan went to Beijing, got nothing, went to London, got silver. And hey, even Mona McSharry and the heavyweights that were in the rowing out there, they were also in Tokyo. I think Mona McSharry finished ninth, and I think the heavyweights in the rowing didn't even get out of their heats. So they picked up silverware in the Olympics. So look, if they stick around, if the Sport Ireland invest in them, because they need to invest in them, they'll know now what they're up against the next time. And the next Olympics, they'll be in their prime. They'll be hitting peak. They'll be fully developed adults, and they'll be ready to strike and bring home the silverware.
When you look at the history of Ireland boxing and the Olympics, 4 medals in Melbourne in 56, 4 medals in London in 2012, 3 in Beijing in 2008, 2 in Tokyo, just the 1 in Paris. But boxing probably carries more expectation than maybe it should, Eric, but because of its results, it always does. But you, I think, feel from listening to you that we have a young enough team to look at LA and think there's medals here.
Oh, there definitely is medals, like Ruby. You have to think about like what Ireland have done in boxing, say, over the last 5 Olympic Games. I think we've won 10 medals. Like, the High Performance Unit was set up in 2003. So the Athens Olympic Games, we only had one qualified there. That was Andy Lee. So we couldn't really expect or have any great expectation of a return in that year because it was brand new. It was a new professional program that was established. But Beijing was when we started to reap our rewards and the fruits of our labour. That's when we won 3 medals. Beijing was 3. London was 4 medals. Rio, it was a disastrous Rio Olympic Games. Again, qualifying our biggest ever ranked team, Kem Hoya, empty-handed, and a lot of controversy as well. But got back on track for Tokyo. You know, we got back on track there and got 2 medals, got a gold and a bronze. And then this one here, we got a gold again, and the 2-time Olympic gold medalist, our first ever defending Olympic champion. So we've won 10 medals, let's say, in the last 5 Olympic Games. You're talking from Beijing, London, Rio, Tokyo, and Paris. Like, that's some return. Well, like, when you think about, I think we've won 18 medals in total. The other 8 medals were from the beginning of the Olympics right up till whatever, the start of this, the high performance, you know, Sydney, let's say, 2000. So, or even Athens, 2004. So that's some return, and it shows that boxing is a powerhouse and is one of our sports that we are really, really good at on a global scale, because not just the Olympics, like, the underage boys and girls were out in the school boys and girls competition while the Olympics was going on, and there was 2 young twin girls, Murphy sisters from Crumlin, who won medals and became the first twin girls to win medals at a European schoolboy from Ireland too. So there's history being made at grassroots and youth level and junior level as well, and they're all the ones for the future. So hopefully boxing can stay and hold its place in the Olympic Games, because if they don't, then I'd worry about the sport in general, about the, you know, the nature and the welfare and the well-being of the sport. Where will it go? Will many kids turn professional from a young age? And then that can be a very difficult sport too, you know what I mean? Because that's more business-orientated the spirit of sport and, you know, representing your country and Olympics and World and Europeans has gone out the window then. It becomes just more about monetary benefit and business orientated. So it's different. It is very, very much different. So hopefully we can hold on to our Olympic status, because it would really could potentially do a lot of damage to the sport if we don't.
Well, it could do damage to Ireland's Olympic medal prospects. Last night, Eric, I gave David Gillick a blank canvas as to what he would do with athletics to improve it, to give it, give our athletes more chance to get on podiums, to win Olympic medals, world medals. We both agreed that a residential complex in Abbottstown would be a big start. But if I gave you, Eric Donovan, a blank canvas to improve boxing in Ireland, to improve that high performance, what would you do?
Well, I remember, I think... Yeah, was probably right. You know, you need obviously more investment, more facilities. You have to create a culture. It has to be culture. But going back, I was one of the first members on the high performance boxing team when it was established in 2003, and we were trying to, with Gary Keegan, Billy Walsh, Orantia, we were trying to figure out where do we go from here. They were the leaders, they were the visionaries, let's say, and the goal was that we wanted to be world class. And what was world class? So world class was described as being standing on podiums, bringing home medals from major competition, which is major competitions, which are the Europeans, the Worlds, and the Olympics. And so how are we going to get onto these podiums? Then we have to start mixing it with people who are standing on these podiums and share with them and learn what they do and find out what they do and have a look and study them and watch them. So we started touching base with our nearest neighbours, the closest neighbours who were doing that on a regular basis. And the French team were doing it, the German team were doing it. And then they started to invite us. They invited us into their training camps. And when we went in there, we got a tanking in the first couple of years. I'll tell you that. Not the most pleasant experiences now. But you know what? We had a hungry team. And, we had coaches who believed in us. And they told us that, look, this is what we have to do. This shows us where we're at. And the more we kept going back into the fire, you know, we kept closing the gap with these guys. And then, thankfully, we had Zorantia, who's obviously from Eastern Europe and being a Georgian himself, he speaks Russian, and Russian be one of his, he'd be fluent in one of his main languages, and he kind of communicated and allowed us to communicate with the Russians, because they were top of the boxing world. The Russians and Cubans, they were in control of everything. They were the number one and number two countries in the world boxing for decades. And once he got us in there to Russia, then we went up another new level. So again, we were starting to learn from the very, very best. And then it became the norm for us. So we put ourselves into an environment that was very, very difficult. But if we wanted to succeed, this is where we needed to be. So I would say that something similar needs to be applied to the athletics. Like, I know money of the athletics have to go to America. And as Rashida said, that she's over there training over there, and she's not even number one over there. She's training with, excellence, sport and greatness every day, every week. And that's what they need to be in with, because in Ireland, they might be the best in their field, but we need to be bringing in even other athletes, and coaches from around Europe, and just mixing it with the best of the best, because iron sharpens iron, success breeds success. So you need to be around a winning mentality and create that winning formula. So the more you can be in with elite level opposition, then the more you're going to reach elite level standard. So that would be my opinion.
I think it's a good one. I think it's a very good one. Competition, you can't beat competition. Eric Donovan, I'm glad you enjoyed the Olympics. It sounds like you had one heck of a time, although I do know you're home now and back to reality, which is probably a bit of a come down, but hey, you always have the memories. Thank you so much for taking our call. We have a quick break to take, but when we come back, we'll be looking ahead to the big game in Tallaght tonight. Shamrock Rovers tried to turn around a 1-0 deficit with Celje.
RTE 2FM.